Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community, including News Talk 1230 WFVA advertising partners sponsoring today's program. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio in real time via ZipWhip landline texting at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Town Talk powered in part this morning by Stafford Tourism. For information on events and activities, visit tourstaffordva.com. Belmont, Gary Melcher's home and studio are focused this morning. Couple guests in with us. David Barrett is back. Susan Taylor Schran is back with us. Susan, it's been a few years since you've been back, so we welcome you because you and Michelle Crow Dolby were in a couple of years ago, and we had a fantastic show talking about. I learned so much about Belmont, and we're going to talk about some of those things I learned and have you share some of those as we go along this morning. But welcome back.
Welcome.
And David, always good to have you. You were just in a couple of weeks ago. We'll get some updates on some of the things that have happened, and a lot going on at Belmont, which is why you're back here this morning, because we'll get into this. The 40th anniversary celebration is about to take place.
Well, we've been trying to draw attention to the fact that Belmont's been around for 40 years as far as a public site. It's been owned by the state for almost 60 years, but it took a while to get the place open to the public via Mary Washington College, and we're happy that we've made it this far and think we've done a lot of good things for the community and have expanded our site numerous times and our programming, and that's why I enjoy coming on at least once a month here to talk about all the things that we're doing.
Well, and I'm not going to say to you, because I've said it to you, and I've also said it about the James Monroe Museum, about what jewels they are and just kind of hidden treasures. And invariably, you or Scott Harris will say, we don't want to be a hidden treasure. And so hopefully you coming on and talking frequently about Belmont will get people involved.
Ted, one of the things we all hate to hear is as you say, being a hidden treasure. But the other thing is from people who have lived here for most of their lives or 20 or 30 years who will finally come by and say, I've lived here for 20 or 30 years and never been here. Or I've driven by this place many times and always wondered what it was all about. And we hope that everybody in the community won't miss us quite as much as they do, and that they'll continue to drop in on the days that we do have special events and activities that will interest them perhaps in many ways, not just as a historic site.
Well, in one of the things, it took me years to get to Belmont, and my excuse always had been, I'm not quite sure where it's at. And M.C. Moncure is the one who finally took me there and gave me explicit directions how to get. It's easy to get. There's a couple ways you can get there. Probably one of the easiest if you go through Falmouth.
Well, if you come from 95 straight down 17, you turn before the newly improved Falmouth intersection right on Washington Street, where so many people have cut through for the years down into Falmouth and to get to River Road. And as you do that, you're going right past our entrance, very easy to get to.
Yep.
And there's another way from the city where you loop around under the bridge and up Washington Street, or you come directly from the city on River Road through Falmouth.
And when you get there, I mean, I'll describe what you see when you get there, because you've got you've got the house, you've got a terrific viewscape. A lot can be seen from Belmont.
Well, most people don't realize that we have 27 acres of property, which includes not just the main house and the art studio and the outbuildings, but it includes a mile and a half of trails that we've created through the woodlands. Our property goes down to the edge of the river and includes the riverside along Ingleside Drive. Susie runs a very popular visitor center and museum shop. We act as the Stafford County Visitor Center, so people come in, they'll learn about county history, they can learn about all of the other attractions in the region. They can learn about Gary Melcher's before they even go on a tour. We have a wonderful video that people can see to orient themselves with at no charge. They can shop in the with all the materials. They can walk the grounds without charge. We do charge for guided tours, but they can enjoy themselves on the property at any time of the day or evening.
Gary Melcher's, who was he?
He was a well-known artist during his time, which was the early 1900s when he was at his peak. He was an expatriate who studied in – he was from Detroit originally. He studied in Europe, stayed in Europe where most Americans had to stay to be able to make a living as an artist. He had a studio in Paris. He had a studio in Holland, which was his escape from the big city. Made his reputation as a painter of the Dutch. Won a lot of awards in international exhibitions in the late 1800s and early 1900s, and became well known in this country for his foreign success. As he moved into his 40s and 50s, he began painting more in an impressionist style, which garnered a whole different audience for him. He then, after the turmoil of World War, or during the turmoil of World War I, he and his wife, Corinne, came back to the States. He opened a studio in New York, and they looked for a country retreat away from the city. So they had a friend who owned Snowdon, where the hospital is now, who told them that there was this other place for sale across the river. Why don't they come look at it? So they came down, saw Belmont, and bought it immediately, moved in, and stayed there through the rest of his life when he died in 1932. His wife, Corinne, was a devoted art student who met him on shipboard. She helped him throughout his career in preparing his works, handling the models, promoting his work. And because of that dedication, after he died, she determined to keep his memory alive and his art alive. And she did that by donating all of the property and the collections, including all of his paintings, to the state of Virginia.
Well, how fortunate that was that helped in the preservation. Because we've seen around here what's happened sometimes with preservation when it's not quite that easy.
It was a very early example of someone thinking ahead. In her case, very personally, to keep her husband's memory alive. But since they had both been involved in the art world in the state of Virginia and been founders of the Virginia Museum in Richmond, they had a devotion to the state and wanted to keep everything alive here in Virginia.
When they purchased Belmont, at that time, would Snowdon and Belmont and Chatham been kind of the famous houses around here and Kenmore?
They were famous, and it was ironic that Kenmore was for sale at the same time. And they chose they looked at Kenmore, but they chose Belmont because they think they wanted the country setting and more acreage. They didn't want the city setting. But then again, Mrs. Melcher's 10 years later was involved in the restoration and the saving of Kenmore as the first restoration carried out by the Garden Club of Virginia of the gardens, as well as helping the city preserve that site as well.
Wouldn't that have been something if they had bought Kenmore? What a tangled history there would have been with that house with them and the Washingtons.
I think so. And of course they lived in Stafford County, but they had a lot of friends and connections in the city. That's where most of the wealth was. But they also had friends who owned Chatham and other large houses in the city. And they were probably the first couple of Stafford, certainly the wealthiest couple in the county at the time. And they helped support many people. A lot of the workers in Falmouth who had suffered in the 20s were helped by the Melchers, who hired the masons and the carpenters and the maids and the cooks all locally and kept them going. And after Gary died in 1932, Mrs. Melchers kept a lot of families going through the Depression just by hiring them to do work on the property. She was the grand dame of Falmouth at the time.
Interesting. So that answers my question. I was going to say, were they recognized as kind of a big deal? And you think about people in organizations today that help a lot of people around here who've done things. And back then they would have been, yeah, I
Corinne
guess.
Was very involved in the community. She, especially after Gary died, she was a colonial dame. She helped raise money for the Red Cross, had fundraisers there. She sold war bonds during World War II. Some people remember her as the vitamin lady for the Stafford Health Department. She volunteered to distribute vitamins in the public schools, so everybody knew her that way. So she was very involved, as well as the Garden Club restoration. So everybody knew Mrs. Melchers. They respected her. They loved her. She had a great attitude towards helping others and getting involved in the community. If not for her, you know, Belmont wouldn't be there today.
When did she die?
1955.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's when the property was turned over to the state, to the Commonwealth. And it took a while. The Virginia Museum was supposed to originally run it, but they thought it was too far away and weren't that interested. It then passed on to Mary Washington College, as it was known at the time. And the college really wasn't sure what to do with it, didn't have any extra money to help restore it or get it open to the public through the 60s. It wasn't until the early 70s when a new president came in, an administration committed to opening it to the public. And that's when we opened it. It was in October of 1975.
On Sunday, November 15th, the 40th anniversary celebration at Belmont. We will talk about that when we come back. David Barrett, Susan Taylor-Schran here from Gary Melcher's home and studio. And that is our topic this morning on Town Talk. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Guests appearing on today's show are News Talk 1230 WFVA advertising partners sponsoring this broadcast. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Town Talk powered by Stafford Tourism. For information on events and activities, visit TourStaffordVA.com. TourStaffordVA.com. Gary Melcher's home and studio, Belmont in Stafford County, is our focus this morning. David Barrett and Susan Taylor-Schran. Susan, you haven't had a chance to talk much, so I'm going to let you jump in and talk a little bit about the visitor center and what's there and what people can see, because you've got some good stuff.
I hope so, yes. As David said, we operate also as the Stafford County Visitor Center. We're the visitor center for Gary Melcher's home and studio. We do the museum shop. We kind of a bunch of different hats. Our main function, though, is to greet the visitor and let them know what we're about. 95% of the people that come have never heard of Gary Melcher's and his art. So we have about 30 seconds to sell them as they're trying to understand why we want to take $10 from them and, you know, what are they going to see. But to a person, if they come not knowing, when they leave, they're a new ambassador for Gary Melcher's. It's a lovely place to work because of the message we get to spread to people.
Well, in that whole thing, because I had never heard of Gary Melcher's, and I remember talking to David about it. But then in recent years, I have seen things on the side where his name has actually come up and been involved. David, you might want to jump in. Is he being recognized more and more today? Is sort of a resurgence or a greater appreciation of Gary Melcher's? Because I have seen some things in different media where his name has come up.
Well, Melcher's is part of a generation of artists, American painters, who were kind of forgotten 20 years ago. And there have been a series of exhibitions, particularly in the last couple of years, that have brought works by those artists together, American Impressionist painters, and circulated them around the country. There are currently about five or six Melcher's paintings that we've got out on loan or will have on loan to exhibitions that are everywhere from Knoxville to San Francisco. They're all over the country as part of these specialized shows. And when those shows travel, especially you know, three or four sites around the country, people start to learn about those artists and they start to look for those artists, and they're still reasonably priced if people are looking to collect. But these shows bring the attention to their work, and then especially at the auction market, if people say, I've had one of these paintings for 30 years or 40 years, I inherited it, but I never thought it was worth anything. But now I saw a work by him in this show.
Yeah.
Maybe it's worth something. So they go to a dealer, and the dealer will put it up on the market, or they'll go to an auction house, and because other people have seen those works by that artist, the auction price will become more competitive, and the prices will start going up. And that's where the interest, it's all in the marketplace. That's where it starts. If somebody thinks something is valuable monetarily, they'll often change their opinion about the aesthetic content. They think, oh, if it's not worth anything, then it's no good. Unfortunately, that's the way it works sometimes. But critically, all of his work, as well as works of his artists of his generation, have been reevaluated. They're starting to appear more in on the walls of museums that have had them in storage for years. They're coming out because they've become more popular and known.
Yeah. Well, I will tell you about one of the things, because when Susan, you mentioned about, you know, selling someone on coming to Belmont, it was a few years ago. My sister-in-law visited from Georgia, and so my wife took her to Belmont. And not only had she had heard of Gary Melchers, and she came home and lectured me extensively on the fact that I needed to go there more, of what a great place it is, just the house and the paintings and the grounds.
It's the whole story that it tells. You're not only seeing a man's work, but you're seeing the way he and his wife live. It makes them real, and it makes the art real. And Melchers, even though he made a living painting society portraits, portraits of rich and famous people, he chose to paint the common person, whether it was when he lived in Holland or in Paris or in Falmouth. Those were his subjects, were the local people, the farmers, the merchants, the workers in the area. And that appeal still appeals to people today. It's like going to your grandmother's house or something like that. But to a person, they come in, and on some level, it appeals to people. And as David said, the idea of American artists of that time period, from 1882, right after World War I, are really becoming into the light now. They're not so overshadowed by their European contemporaries, you know.
David, is there a particular painting, a piece of work that Melchers did that is his most famous?
Probably a painting called The Sermon, which is in the collection of the Smithsonian American Art Museum up in Washington. And it's usually on view there. It's one that won a number of awards. It's got a story behind it. It's a painting of a church service with a number of women listening to a sermon, with one of the young girls appearing to fall asleep during the service, with Anna and her neighbor, an older woman, looking at her, critically, as to how dare you, and it was a humorous painting at the time when it was done in the 1880s, and was very popular. And now it's still not just the story that's in the painting, but the quality of the painting is probably Gary Melchers at his peak in the late 1880s. And you can see it here in Washington almost any time.
Okay. That's good to remember.
One thing I want to bring up is, yes, it's the anniversary, the 40th anniversary of Belmont opening to the public, but it's also the 100th anniversary of the Melchers coming to Falmouth. But along with that, you know, we're into the 100th anniversary of World War I, and also like the 100th anniversary of the San Francisco World's Fair, which is where one of Melchers' paintings is on loan now. They're doing that. So you have so many 100 celebrations going on. And Melchers was so involved in things that were going on at the time. His work, his name is being more associated and brought out in public view.
Sounds like he traveled a lot.
He and Corinne both were fluent in five languages, so they were comfortable all over the world. They had homes and studios in Paris and in Holland and New York and London and Germany. They just were constantly on the move. They had no children, no family of that would keep them in place. They were members of all sorts of clubs around the country and Europe, so they could stay wherever they wanted to in that way. Gary was involved with lots of different artists associations where he was either the chairman or a member of the board, and so was involved politically with the artist groups and promotion-wise. Susie mentions the centennial of the Pan American Pacific Exhibition in 1915 in San Francisco, and Gary had an entire room of his own at that exhibition in San Francisco, which World's Fair honored the opening of the Panama Canal. So you know, lots of things happened in 1915, including them buying Belmont. So it was quite an era, and Gary and Corinne are right in the middle of it.
It is the 40th anniversary celebration coming up Sunday, November the 15th from 10 to 4. We are going to talk about that. We'll do that when we come back with David Barrett and Susan Taylor Schramm this morning on Town Talk. More on News Talk 1230 WFVA coming up on 831.
This is Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio at 540-371-5756. Guests appearing on today's show are News Talk 1230 WFVA advertising partners sponsoring this broadcast. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Town Talk powered in part this morning by Stafford Tourism. For information on events and activities, visit tourstaffordva.com. David Barrett and Susan Taylor Schramm from Belmont, Gary Melcher's home and studio here. Before we go any further, we've got to get we've kind of touched on it, but the 40th anniversary celebration, David, of Belmont will be Sunday the 15th from 10 to 4. And one of the unique things about this event is you're charging 1975 prices.
Well, we wanted a market in some way that would bring back those days. And it doesn't seem that long ago, but it was 40 years. And today we charge $10 for a tour. When it opened in 1975, it was 75 cents for adults and 50 cents for children. And that's what we'll be charging, a token amount that day. Susie will have a lot of quarters in the shop, I believe.
Yes.
We hope that a lot of people will come out. We're going to do it open house style, which we do for our occasional free open houses, so that people can go at their own pace through the house and the studio with docents in place to answer questions rather than a structured guided tour. And we'll have some light refreshments, and Susie will have some specials in the shop, I'm sure.
I hope to, yes.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Susan.
What we hope to have ready that day to in the shop is the release of a new book we've put together. It's the selected works of Melchers from the Gary Melchers collection here at Belmont. In the shop, as guests leave, the question they always ask is, do you have a book on Gary Melchers? There have been two books on Melchers over the years, one by Joe Dreiss from the university and a retrospective catalog of a show Melchers had in the 90s. But what people really want is a collection of his paintings, a visual souvenir to take with them. And that's what we've put together. It's the answer to that question, do you have a book? And we do now. It's about 100 pages with 80 paintings of Melchers in the book, all in full color. And we're desperately trying to get it ready for the 15th to have it in the shop.
So you're one of the editors of this book?
I edited it. And with a brief note, David was my wordsmith on it. And, of course, our curator, Joanna Catron, was our fact checker and made sure everything was correct. It's not a book of words. It's a book of paintings. It's a book of pictures. So it was a matter of selecting the works, getting them ready for printing.
And one of the nice things about it is that all the works in the book are from our collection, mm-hmm. and most are on view most of the time. If not, then they'll rotate back in. So it as we went through it, and Susie selected the works based on not only his quality, but on the works that people really liked and wanted to see. She creates postcards, note cards, and knows which ones are popular, and knows from being in out front what people ask for when they come through.
I think one of the nice things about Belmont and people meeting Melcher's works is they don't have a preconceived notion, because he's not that well known. If you're expecting a Matisse, a Monet or something, you've already got a preconceived notion that they're good, that they're great, that something's going to happen. But if you don't know, it's you that's going to make the judgment about the work, whether or not you like it, whether or not it appeals to you. And what we find is people do like and enjoy Melcher's works. So this book is for our visitor. It's what they've wanted reflected back in a book.
And we hope that they will take it home, leave it out for their guests and friends, and show it off and help other people discover Melcher's and then come visit us as well.
What a great idea. This has been a long time in coming and probably overdue.
It's way overdue, but like everything else, it's time and money and whatnot. It's an idea I've had for a while. But we kicked it into high gear over the summer, and just I spent most of the summer preparing the images for the publication. So now it's a race with the printer to get it ready to go. Our curator, Joanna Catron, she continues to work on the catalog Raisonné, which would be a collection of all of his works and a scholarly interpretation with the works. And what this book is just images and paintings.
Yeah. Was it tough, David, to pick out what you picked out?
Well, Susie made the preliminary selection, and we discussed which things to add or subtract based on what we thought represented his work the best. I mean, we've got almost 500 paintings in the collection that we could have chosen from. But with Susie's experience with what visitors really wanted and what they liked, we were able to narrow it down to these 80 or so that are the most popular and I think most representative of the best of his work.
Melcher's also would do the same image over again. So he would interpret a painting different ways. So they might have two or three similar paintings, and we would pick the best. Melcher's was so popular in his time. So many of his good works are sold. We don't have them. They're in museum and private collections all over the world. And so to put together a selection of work that spanned his career, his professional career. The other thing that's in the books are quotes both by Melcher's and by his colleagues about his work. And I think that those words are enough to give the viewer a real sense of who Melcher's was and his position in the art world at that time, and how he felt about work, how he felt about painting.
Does the book have a name?
Yes, Selected Works of Gary Melcher's.
Okay.
You know, which it's the other thing that's in there are some nice archival photographs of Melcher's.
Mm-hmm. Is the only place you can get it when you do get it will be at the visitor center?
That's correct. Yes.
So okay, that's a good reason to come to the visitor center, mm-hmm. just to check it out. I know I've looked at some of his works just to try to get familiar mm-hmm. with it, and I've always had to just go online and just hit Google Images.
Yes, that's right. Just right now, even in the museum shop, I have over 40 postcards that people can select from, and they all sell equally well.
Okay.
So it like David said, mm-hmm. we have 500, over 500 paintings, and we're not even talking about drawings, sketches, and those types of things that we can also go to another time. Plus, they're the works of other artists that the Melchers collected, and maybe sometime that'll be another book.
Well, you got your work cut out for you.
I think so.
You're going to have your name on some books there, Susan. This is exciting stuff. Do you ever run across, because I know in the past year, like the James Monroe Museum found a print or a picture or a painting of Monroe. Do you ever find things that you didn't know that Melchers had done that somebody had?
They come up occasionally. Joanna, our curator, always keeps an eye out, and she's on the list for dealers and auction houses to contact whenever they find something that they're not sure is a Melchers, if they want more information. But every year, you know, a couple of them come through. Most recently, we had a watercolor sent to us from Holland to be looked at and authenticated, and it was either going to be by George Hitchcock, who was shared a studio with Gary, or by Gary Melchers. And it was difficult to determine it because it was painted in they shared a studio. They shared models. They shared the same scenario, the setups, the props, and painted in a similar style. So it's still to be positively determined. But, we even had a little vote in the studio. We put a sheet up for people to vote whether it was Melchers or Hitchcock. And most people think it's Hitchcock, but our curator thinks it's more Melchers. So there's a new one possibly to be added to the list. But every once in a while, most of the new ones that come up have been in families for generations, and we've lost track of them because Gary wasn't a great record keeper as to where all his paintings went, except when he went to a museum. So we will often hear from a third or fourth generation that has inherited a painting, and they'll say, well, I saw this signature on here, and I'm sending it to you because we don't know who it was or who and that'll be a new piece to us.
Okay. Again, that is the 40th anniversary celebration, Sunday the 15th from 10 to 4, 1975 admission prices. When Belmont opened up 40 years ago, was that a big deal? Because I'm thinking if it were today, I'd be having you in all the time talking about this. Was it viewed locally as a pretty big thing?
I think it was because people who had known Mrs. Melchers were still relatively young. She'd only died 20 years before.
Yeah.
And people knew her wishes, knew the terms of her will, which was to open it to the public. Many people wanted the college to open it as much as possible. They decided on a very short opening schedule because of staffing issues. It was only open 3 days a week in the afternoons for the first year or so with volunteers. So it was slow getting started. But looking back at the archives, there were a number of articles announcing the plans and the opening. And I think it had more impact because so many people were still living who had known Mrs. Melchers and were involved with her and Gary's work at the time.
Well, I was only in high school in 1975, but I would have been – if I'd been here, I would have made a big deal about this.
Yeah.
Home for the Holidays. Tell me about that. That's going to be November 27th through January 3rd, and you're decorating up the house.
We do it every year. This year we're going to be trying to do it a little more special, and it's going to be ready to view the day after Thanksgiving this year rather than a week or two later, so that people have more of a chance to tour the house and see it as the Melchers would have had it decorated and enjoy the style that they lived by. And I think it'll be part of the normal tours to see all the decorations. And I think Susie will probably be doing some things in the shop as well.
Oh, absolutely. We'll be preparing for the holidays.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's a chance to see the house decorated not only to contemporary schedule and standards, but using a lot of the style that the Melchers had and some of the original decorations as well.
Okay. So if you like the candle, the Christmas candlelight tour downtown, this you can go through a – this is getting to see a historic home with
during the day, right?
Yeah.
And then later in the month, in December, speaking of candlelight tours, and we'll probably talk about this closer to the date, but Susie and I are doing a special evening tour on Saturday, December 19th, a candlelight tour of the house starting at 4:30, where it'll be by reservation, limited number of people, to go through the house in the evening to see things lit up as they might have been at the time.
What especially on December 19th at that time, I mean, it's just starting to get dark, and that'll be a nice
4:30. We decided we're open. We closed to the public at 4 this time of year because of the darkness and the lack of interest in people coming that late. So we decided to start it, you know, right after our regular tour schedule and invite people in to enjoy it and share a glass of champagne with us as well to toast the Melchers during the holidays.
Okay. I didn't write it down, and so I can't remember what it was. I know there's a website for Belmont.
Yes, it's GaryMelchers.org. That's G-A-R-I, GaryMelchers.org. Ted, I wanted to mention one thing before we get too far into the year. Belmont is a beautiful place to visit this time of the year. I think it's at its most beautiful as the leaves begin to change. At the south end of the lawn, we have a huge grove of oak trees that overlook the Rappahannock River. Excuse me. And as the leaves begin to change and they become a brilliant red, it's just beautiful to come. And as David said earlier, it's free of charge to walk the grounds. So maybe an early morning or late afternoon stroll through Belmont would be good. And it's a wonderful place for artists to come and paint or draw because there's so many nice vignettes on the lawn. And David's got something really special coming up for artists who have painted at Belmont over the years. You want to tell them, David?
Yeah, tell us about that.
We are right now, I've just opened entries for an exhibition called Belmont Portrayed, which is a juried exhibition. I am the juror. To show works that artists have painted on the grounds over the years. There's no limit on the time frame, except I'd like to have things that were done since 1975. Entries are online only. They're also available at GaryMelchers.org. There's a on the home page. There's a link to the entry forms and the rules of the exhibition entries. I'm accepting entries through November 20th. There are cash awards that are being provided by the Nikki Say Charitable Fund. And we hope that we get a lot of entries to choose from. And the show will open January 23rd, first time we've done living artists in the studio.
That's exciting. We'll have to, when we get closer to that, too, we'll have to talk about that. Mm-hmm. David Barrett here, Susan Taylor Schron. We'll wrap this up when we come back on Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Guests appearing on today's show are News Talk 1230 WFVA advertising partners sponsoring this broadcast. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Town Talk powered by Stafford Tourism. For information on events and activities, TourStaffordVA.com is the website you want to visit. A fabulous website, TourStaffordVA.com. David Barrett and Susan Taylor Schran here from Gary Melcher's home and studio, Belmont, in Stafford. You were here a couple of years ago, Susan. I'll never forget it because I had never heard of this concept about a library.
The Little Free Library.
The Little Free Library, and I have since heard about a number of them around, but you've got one at Belmont.
Yes, we had the first one in this area. The Little Free Libraries were started out of Wisconsin, and they're based on something that happened in the late 1800s. A woman in Wisconsin would put together a large wooden crate of books and take them into rural areas where people would have a library. And about 5 or 6 years ago, two men in Madison revised the idea by putting a little wooden like birdhouse in their front yard as a free library. And from that, it's taken off all over the world. We put ours in about a year and a half ago. And we've probably seen 2,000 books come and go through the library. And the principle of the book is, of the little free library, is take a book, leave a book. You're welcome to take a book. You don't have to bring it back. But if you've got something to share, bring it to us. So it is regularly filled, not only by employees at Gary Melcher's Home and Studio. We have regular visitors in the community that come and fill our little free library. Travelers take them. It's really a great, I think, a tribute to Corinne Melcher's and to Gary, but especially to Corinne because of her commitment to the to Falmouth, to her neighbors, and to helping educate her community. So it's been extremely popular. It's great. And it's right in front of the visitor center at the in the parking lot. You can drive up, check out the library, and not even bother to come in. The little children like it. Kids really think it's great.
And you don't need a library card.
Don't need a library card.
Perfect.
It's open 24 hours a day.
Perfect. Again, before we get out of here, the 40th anniversary celebration, Sunday the 15th, 10 to 4, 1975 admission prices. You said 75 cents to see Belmont that day. That's a deal.
I hope people will come by and bring their friends and relatives. It'll be a wonderful day, we think, to explore and discover Belmont.
It'll help you not be a hidden jewel anymore.
I hope so.
That this will be the first step toward that. And also, hopefully that by that time, Susan, the book with your name as editor on it will be out with some of Melcher's works.
Well, we hope that. But we also have a wonderful selection of books in our museum on varied topics. As I say, Melcher's life spanned a very interesting time in American history. He's born in 1860, dies in 1932. And so much happened, and our books are based on events during his lifetime, contemporaries, people he would have known. We were talking earlier, Melcher's was alive during the Battle of Little Bighorn. He was alive during World War I. Mm-hmm. You know, Wyatt Earp was a colleague of his, as were President Taft. So we have those books. We have art supplies, of course, because he was an artist. And we have art supplies by manufacturers that Gary used during his day. They're still out there making art supplies, and they're still available.
GaryMelchers.org, G-A-R-I, Melchers.org is where you can find out a lot about what's going on at Belmont. Again, the 40th anniversary celebration, Sunday the 15th, from 10 to 4, 1975 admission prices, and Home for the Holidays, November 27th through January 3rd. The house at Belmont there decorated for the holidays. And also the director's candlelight tour will be the 19th, Saturday the 19th, 4:30 to 6 by reservation and with champagne. GaryMelchers.org. David Barrett and Susan Taylor-Schran, a quick hour. Thank you both for coming in. Great stuff. Thanks.
Thank you, Dad.
Thank you.
That's it for Town Talk. See you next time. See you tomorrow on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Guests appearing on today's program are advertising partners who have purchased commercial airtime on WFVA and have been offered the opportunity to sponsor this broadcast. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.